All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
And welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry. I was a chief warrant officer in the United States Army, helicopter pilot type person in Vietnam in 1969. And we really want to welcome you to our program today. I'm very excited. We've got some great guests. We're going to be talking about the VA hospital system and health programs. And we're also going to be talking about the VA benefits program, because I am learning as I go along that they are separate entities. And so we want to make sure that you are out there and you know all about what's going on at the VA. That reminds me, I want you to give us a call. If you have a question about a benefit question or a question about the VA hospital system that you want to ask, please give us a call here at 734-822-1600, 734-822-1600. I have a bunch of little announcements to go through, but first I got to make sure I acknowledge the people that make Veterans Radio possible here. So number one on our list is Legal Help for Veterans. Legal Help for Veterans specializes in veterans disability claims. That's all that they do. So for more information, go to their website, legalhelpforveterans.com, or give them a call at 800-693-4800. That's 800-693-4800. Number two is U.S. Wings, manufacturers of the finest leather flight jackets in the world. U.S. Wings is a major supplier of leather flight jackets to the military. For more information, go to their website. That's uswings.com, uswings.com. Or give them a call, 800-650-0659. It's 800-650-0659. And that also reminds me that coming up on our next program in November, we're going to be giving away a Top Gun bomber jacket. Now, I got a response. I thought this was rather interesting. Somebody is boycotting Tom Cruise, so they didn't want to participate. Tom Cruise has nothing to do with these jackets. These are gorgeous leather jackets, run anywhere from $700 to $800. And so you need to go to veteransradio.net and click on the little entry tab there on our front page and sign up for this, and we'll do our little lottery raffle type drawing on our program at the end of November so that you will have this amazing jacket in time for Christmas. So again, go to veteransradio.net, click on a little icon there that says sign up to win this jacket. And again, this is these are beautiful. Just go to, they're on the front page of the U.S. Wings website. So that's uswings.com. Check it out. It's a great opportunity for you and also for us. The second and the last thing, of course, is we want to thank our local veteran service organizations. That's American Legion Post 46, VFW Post 423, and the Charles S. Kettles VVA Post 310, all of Ann Arbor, Michigan. I want to thank you very much for your sponsorship. We really appreciate your support, and we need to continue that support. So we're going to be asking you, our listeners, at some point to, again, go to veteransradio.net and help us out if you can with a donation or sponsorship. We really could use that. The program is not free. Let's put it that way. And now that we're on a couple of more stations out there around the country, we really need your support if we can get it. So go to veteransradio.net, click on donate, and we'll really thank you. And in addition to that, I promise I will give you an autographed copy of our book of Vietnam stories. How's that? So get over there and do that. A couple of events that are coming up, and the major event that is coming up locally is our Stories of Service, an evening with veterans that is to benefit our Fisher House of Michigan. For those of you that live in the greater Ann Arbor area, you can see it during its construction. It's really coming around. It's going to be a gorgeous room, building, not a room. I think there's going to be 16 units in it that will be able to help out 16 families. So while the veteran is receiving care at the VA hospital here in Ann Arbor, they'll have someplace for the family to stay. It's really a great program, and our Stories of Service is coming up on November 6th, 2019 at 7 p.m. at the Michigan Theater this year in Ann Arbor. And veterans, first responders, and students get in free. Regular ticket prices are $15. For more information, you can go to fisherhousemichigan.org/storiesofservice. So this begins at 7 p.m. There isn't a There is a reception at 5:30, but you need to go to their website, again, fisherhousemichigan.org/stories of service to find out more about that. So Stories of Service and Evening with Veterans at the Michigan Theater. One more. This is a fun one, I think. For all you veterans out there who like to tell war stories, we got the place for you to go. Coming up here on this coming Wednesday, October 30th at 17:30 hours, that's 5:30, till 8 o'clock or 2000 hours, is going to be our fourth There I Was. Open Mic for Veterans Night is at the VFW Post 423 on South Wagner Road in Ann Arbor. Our October theme is, where was your first assignment and what did you think about that? When you left all your schools and everything and you went off to either, you know, go to fight a war or off to advanced training, advanced training, something along those lines. This is what we're looking at. So come on down. We have cake. We always promise you cake and we'll give you a cake. And then we record those and we put those up on a podcast entitled There I Was. So this coming Wednesday night, Devil's Night for all of you out there, October 30th, 2019, from 5:30 till 8 o'clock at VFW Post 423 on South Wagner Road in Ann Arbor, Michigan. We look forward to seeing you there. It's always been fun. All right. Oh, I know. Whew. In the news, you heard about this, and so we want to make sure that we get the word out here also. Congratulations. We want to offer Veterans Radio congratulations to the Military Special Operations Forces, who got the head of ISIS, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, who was killed last night in northeast Syria. We want to congratulate the Military Special Forces. I understand the SEALs, Delta Force, probably everybody over there was involved, and great job done by all of you. Thank you for what you do. All right. Ready?
You're ready.
Ready? All right. I have a really good friend on the line right now that I want to talk to just briefly. She's been on Veterans Radio. She's a professional counselor, and she's got a great program out there for veterans called Tribe Talks. And joining me on the line right now is Melissa Engel. And, Melissa, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Hi, Dale. Thanks. Good afternoon.
Thank you. Thank you, and good afternoon to you. So we have talked a little bit about Tribe Talks on Veterans Radio, and you've got one coming up next weekend, November 1st through 3rd. Is that correct?
That's right, Dale. I've got a special female veterans retreat being held November 1st through November 3rd, and I've got a couple of openings still. If there's any interested ladies in there, they just need to reach out to me, and we'll get them registered.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about what you do during your Tribe Talk program.
So Tribe Talks is a retreat program that's co-facilitated by myself and another Marine Corps veteran, and we teach relaxation and engage in a bunch of different recreational activities. So we have equine therapy, yoga, art stuff, meditation. The whole thing is to help veterans and service members combat anxiety and post-traumatic stress. So we teach them how to live in a relaxed body. We give them an opportunity to get away from maybe some things that are stressing them out and to have a little solitude and some camaraderie with other women, you know, at this time that will understand the things that they're going through. So it's a rest weekend for them.
And this is being held where?
It's going to be held at the grounds of Camp Liberty, which is just outside of Jackson, Michigan.
Okay. And this is open to any woman veteran out there?
That's right. And active duty as well. So we'd just love to get a couple more females and have a full house.
Okay. Well, we're getting the word out here, and we'll be more than happy to help you out. The more we can, the better it's going to be, I know, for you, and especially for the veterans that do show up for your Tribe Talks.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would just suggest people can either check us out on Facebook at Tribe Talks, or they can email me directly at tribetalksprogram@gmail.com.
All right. And I know they can also give you a call, can't they?
They can. They can give me a call at 586-222-3391, or even email me at Melissa at Veterans Radio.
That's true. Yes, this is how close she is to Veterans Radio, folks, and we want to make sure that we support this. It's something that I'm anxious to go out and participate myself at some time in the near future. So, Melissa, thank you very much for what you do, of course, to help veterans, and we hope we can get a full house coming up on the weekend of November 1st.
My pleasure. Thanks, Dale.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. So, Now we're going to start talking about what's going on. I got another guest on the phone. I forgot. I have a guest host on the phone. And so let me start in the studio here with her. And so we've got retired Air Force Brigadier General, and was an Air Force nurse. And that is Carol Ann Falzone. General, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Thanks, Dale. I hope you had a nice month off. We missed you. I'm very happy to be involved with Veterans Radio.
Well, we are privileged, I think, to have you as one of our resources. So thank you for that. Also, as far as the benefits side of the program, we've got Michael Smith here, who is Executive Director of the Washtenaw County Department of Veterans Services. So, Michael, welcome back. He's a resident expert on everything that has to do with military benefits, I think.
Thank you, Dale. Always good to be in the studio with you and joining our comrade, General Falzone, and our other distinguished guest that's joining us today.
That's right. We have our we have our public affairs officer, Brian Hayes, from the Ann Arbor VA, and he is here to hopefully, if you have any questions about what's going on the hospital side of the spectrum, might be able to help you out with some of those questions as well. So, Brian, I want to welcome you back.
Thanks for having me back, Dale.
That's all right. And, Brian, you were a Navy veteran.
I am, yeah. I was an operations specialist, second class. Scope dope.
A scope. There we go. So we've got the Navy, the Army, and the Air Force all represented here today. All right. So does anybody have an opening comment that you would like to make, or is there anything that we need to know?
Well, I did want to mention, since we're talking about events coming up, we have another Hire My Vet event coming up on the 4th at the Washtenaw Community College, Lawrence Morris Building. It's going to be from 10 until noon, and these are great events where veterans who are interested in finding work. The interesting thing is, you know, we have a fairly low unemployment rate right now, and the veteran unemployment rate is only at about 2.5% right now. But it's important for these events because, you know, maybe you want to step up your work a little bit. You may want to step into a different type of work. This is a great way to kind of meet those folks and get that done. So if you're a veteran in the area and you're interested in maybe switching jobs or getting a new job, come see us on November 4th, November 5th, is it? No, I'm sorry, it's the 5th. And we'll get you connected up, and we'll have folks there to do interviews and all that kind of stuff. So it should be pretty nice.
Okay, again, this is open to any veteran.
Yeah.
No matter what generation you were a veteran. And if you want to, because I know I've been to a couple of these, and there are a lot of good-looking jobs out there that, you know, that you guys, are men and women, are qualified for that you may not be aware of. So make sure you bring your resumes. Make sure you bring your business cards. Make sure you dress up. You know, look
good.
The
look the part. You can always go to hiremyvet.org. My is spelled M-I as in Michigan. Or you can just like the VA Ann Arbor Healthcare System on Facebook. We put all this stuff on Facebook all the time.
Okay, great. Yeah. Thanks, Brian, very much. Anything else we need to know for the
good of the order?
I think
I know why Brian may have been thinking about November 4th, because on that day from 10 to 2 o'clock at the VA Ann Arbor Healthcare System will be a women veterans program, and it is going to be actually sponsored by the Veterans Employment Services out of the state of Michigan.
Out of
regional,
Michigan Works, yeah.
That is correct. Veterans Employment Services representative, Sean Sims, and his regional coordinator put this event together, and it's got a really nice lineup of organizations whose main focus are women veterans. And of course, I'll be there representing the Washtenaw County Department of Veterans Affairs. And it looks like it's going to be a really good program from the agenda I've seen.
And this event is going to be at the hospital
at
our new Welcome Center in the Event Center, which is inside of our Welcome Center.
Yeah.
So you can just come to the hospital and come to the medical center, and that's going to be a nice event.
Okay. Well, that's a lot of important stuff to do that first week of
November. A ton of stuff coming up.
Yeah. You know? All right. So we got Tribe Talks on the weekend. We got the VA hospital on Monday the 4th, correct? That's from 10?
That's from 10 to 2 o'clock.
10 to 2 o'clock, and then we've got Hire a Vet.
Hire My Vet at Washtenaw Community.
MI at Washtenaw Community College, Morris Lawrence Building, which is on the east side of the campus.
Yeah. And 10 to noon on that
10
one.
10 to noon on that one. Whew, busy. I teach on that day. Let's see if I can squeeze myself over there.
That'd be great.
You don't want a new job? No, I didn't say that. I'm very happy my job there. All right. The other thing I wanted to mention, and both of you corrected me, so I'm going to ask you to do this, is that I was in Plymouth this afternoon, and a friend of mine said, boy, you got to talk about the new veterans...
Community-based outpatient clinic?
that one.
Yeah.
Veterans Community-Based Outreach Clinic.
Outpatient.
Outpatient clinic. And what does that do?
Well, it's another clinic, right? So we in the VA Ann Arbor healthcare system, presently we have four facilities. We have the medical center in Ann Arbor. We also have community-based outpatient clinics in Flint, Jackson, and Toledo, Ohio, right? This is a whole other clinic. It's over 40,000 square feet. It's smaller than Toledo, but about three times the size of a Flint or a Jackson, mm-hmm. and it's going to have all kinds of great services. We decided to put it in the location that it's at because we through our research, we found a hole. We found that we mm-hmm. could serve about 14,000 more veterans if we put a clinic right there, mm-hmm. and it's the perfect spot. So it's going to be right off of I-275, off of Ford Road, behind the Super Walmart. There's an empty field back there, and it took us forever. It took us years to find the spot. It had to meet a lot of requirements, and it also had to meet the requirements of the area, right? So mm-hmm. no endangered animals or endangered plants or any of that kind of stuff, and we found a spot. And there it is. So it's we made the announcement in September, and we're going to break mm-hmm. ground here probably before the end of winter, and we'll be doing a big groundbreaking ceremony probably in April. That's my team that plans that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And we're hoping to open it up in the summer of 2021.
All right.
Yeah.
That's another opportunity. We were talking briefly before the program about, you know, some of the changes that are occurring with the VA. And one was the urgent care mm-hmm. program that is out there. And so I was going to ask Michael to go through this again a little bit in the condensed version, because I was wondering, how do I, you know, for those of you that veterans that are out there that don't like to come into Ann Arbor or wherever your big VA hospital happens to be, and you have the ability now that you can go to particular urgent care facilities across the country.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue right now is, how do you find them?
Right.
And I'm not sure which ones are available in Ann Arbor myself right now, or at least in our area. But how do I find that out?
Well, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs has always had a facility locator on their website so that you could find any facility associated with the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, whether it's the Veterans Benefits Administration side of the house, the National Cemetery Administration side of the house, or the VA Health Administration side of the house. So actually, you could do a search function on their website for locations. You can specify what VA facility you're looking for, whether it's a regional office with the Veterans Benefits Administration or a hospital or a clinic like one of the CBOX that Brian just mentioned, or even locations of cemeteries. Mm-hmm. So the VA already had that platform existing. So when the Mission Act came into full effect and the VA began to vet their community partners who were going to be providing health care to veterans based on going out into the community, of course, meeting those criteria for going out in the community, they added that network of locations to their already existing system. Similar, one of the things that came out with the Mission Act was the opportunity to get urgent care mm-hmm. in your local community. If you're enrolled in the VA healthcare system and you have a situation that needs to be taken care of, that is, the type of criteria for an urgent care facility, the VA added also the locations of urgent care facilities to that website. So if you look, it asks you either by location, like Ann Arbor or a zip mm-hmm. code. Then it asks what type of facility, and you tell it you want a healthcare facility, and actually you can search for urgent care facilities, and then you can give it a radius, how far out you want it to go. And when I did the search function the other day, I retrieved about 30 mm-hmm. or so mm-hmm. facilities in the Ann Arbor area. Right.
We have a whole team of people that basically their job is to look for places who might want to be urgent care providers. Mm-hmm. Right. So they go out and they ask.
Are these like Medicare or not Medicare? Forget Medicare, MEDI type of clinics and so forth, or are you working with other units like IHA urgent care?
Well, whoever has an urgent care, you know, you see them everywhere, right?
Right.
In strip malls, and you know, those are the kind mm-hmm. of places that we talk about. And you know, when you're talking about something that's not emergent, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it might be something you want to get looked at right now. That's
like a cold.
Yeah.
Thinking, you know, if I get the flu, I don't necessarily want to go into the. I mean, I get all my health care at the VA right
yeah.
now. I don't necessarily want to go into the emergency room and and right. have them say, well, here, take two aspirin and get out of here.
Right. You're, you know, you sprain your back, you're in your back, you know, you're going to an urgent care. You don't necessarily need to go get emergency care, which could, you know, is a lot more involved.
One of the things that you mentioned, and you mentioned it also, is that you still have to be registered within the VA health system.
You still need to be a VA patient.
That is correct.
Right? Yeah. And be enrolled. And then you can access the benefits of the urgent care clinics.
Right. Right. Okay. So we encourage you, all of you out there, to, if you're not participating inside of the VA healthcare and you want to use one of these urgent care facilities, go sign up.
Yeah, it's easy to do, too. You can just go to va.gov. Mm-hmm. The form is right there on the bottom of the page. There's three big buttons. One of them is healthcare, benefits, cemetery. Click the healthcare one. Say, I want healthcare. And it'll give you the form. You'll get your 1010EZ right there. You'll be able to attach your GD-214. If you're not computer savvy, find a grandchild, and they'll walk you through the process, right?
That's true.
I think that's one of the things we were talking about. So if you're at the Find VA Locations website or that part of their webpage, you can, like I said, search by city, state, or postal code. So I entered 48108. And then it asks you what facilities. You can get a drop down. It's either VA Health, community care, non-VA health, benefits, cemetery, or a vet center. So obviously, the urgent cares are going to come under community care. So you select that option, and then it asks you the type of service. And you can actually type in urgent care, and it pops up.
Michael's actually doing this live.
He's doing this live on his phone.
And it literally pops up, and it says urgent care.
Yeah.
And so once you select that, you hit go, or clinic/care. It's clinic center/urgent care is what pops up. When I search for it, it gives me all the locations within the 48108 area. Mm-hmm. And it's quite a few. Now, we were concerned, and I had mentioned in my email response to you about those who are not computer literate, mm-hmm. or those who don't have a computer, mm-hmm. or those who have a computer, but because they're not as computer literate, they don't use it. They should be able to contact a VA medical center or a VA health care center.
Yeah, we have an office of community care, and I don't have that number with me or in my head right now, but that's one of the ways you can do it. You can call the office of community care, and they'll do that search for you, basically doing exactly what Michael just did, but they'll sit at the computer and do the search for you and find a place and say you can go. Yeah.
And so there you have it, Dale. There's all your locations in this area.
Okay.
And so there's quite a few.
Yeah, there are.
Several pages.
Yeah, this actually has about four pages.
That's awesome.
Because it's all of the University of Michigan urgent cares affiliated with them, ones affiliated with IHA, some of the other independent urgent care facilities like Concentra. And
do I need permission from the VA to do that, or do I just walk in, show them my card?
You can get your care that way, and they'll give you 2 weeks worth of prescription. If you get a prescription, you can get 14 days worth. Beyond that, you'll have to get that at the VA hospital, the medical center. Yeah.
But I mean, when I walk into the urgent care and I say, "Hi, I'm a vet,"
yes,
I just show them my card and go from there.
That's it.
The one that you get when you enroll in the VA healthcare system.
Yes, the one with your very
ID
nice
card.
The one with your nice picture on it.
That's correct.
Carol Ann, are you in Florida today?
Nope, I am in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Oh, you're back. You survived the game last night in the rain.
Oh, yes, and it was a great game. Go Blue.
Well, we only have a couple of minutes until we need to take a break, so things are moving really quickly. So I have one question for you and Michael. I think I sent you the email if you got it. This is from a woman in wherever 512 is. I don't know where that is. But it says, reference claims that went through the RAMP process and got denied. I assisted a veteran that got a decision later after reactivating his claim through the new disability compensation claim process. He got a positive decision, but with an effective date matching the date of the RAMP application instead of the effective date of the original claim. Is this a systemic error or one that will be corrected at some point for financial audit? The difference owes a veteran about 5 years worth of back pay. Anybody want
to? Well, let me take a stab, and I know Michael will either correct me or back me up. I think what will need to happen is send in the information, because I've just recently had that happen with several other cases, and they're doing the date that from the RAMP, but I believe you could appeal it and go back for a different effective date from the original date that it was applied. But it is a process, and I would get somebody that knows a VSO, county counselor, come to us, that knows that process.
It's difficult to really answer these types of questions without knowing the specifics of the claim. There is some issues about effective dates, and General Fasson knows this as well. If this person's claim was on appeal for obviously these 5 years that she's referencing, I'm going to assume this made this person a candidate to opt into the RAMP program so that that person's claim could receive a decision a lot quicker. If the evidence in the record supported the denial, then the RAMP decision was probably upholding that denial. If they then went back out and got new evidence and reopened the claim using the new claims processes, which went into effect after February 19th of this year, using the new forms, the supplemental claim, the supplemental or the higher level review, and those other the supplemental claim, excuse me, goes right along with the supplemental review, which is a part of the one of the new appellate lanes. And the VA now gives a grant. It's going to probably be because of the evidence that was submitted. If that was the first time the VA could say, yes, you now have the evidence to grant, then they're going to grant, and that effective date is going to be the later date as opposed to the earlier date.
Okay. Well, this is something that we need to talk about. We're coming up on at the bottom of the hour already, and I want to thank Linda that sent that question in. Linda evidently is from Austin, Texas, which is great to hear from Austin, Texas. We have a call also on the line from California. Don't go away, Curtis. We're going to get you as soon as we get back from the news, and Derek is busy on the phone again, so it looks like we may get more and more. So I want to thank everybody. Give us a call, 734-822-1600. We're here to answer your questions today. We will be back shortly. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. Army Private John Tolley advanced 200 yards through heavy fire to destroy two tanks. Details after this. The rifle company in which Tolley served as rocket launcher gunner was occupying a defensive position in the west sector of the recently established Nijmegen Bridgehead, when a strong enemy force of approximately 100 infantry, supported by two tanks and a half-track, formed for a counterattack. With full knowledge of the disastrous consequences resulting not only to his company, but to the entire bridgehead by an enemy breakthrough, Tully immediately, and without orders, left his foxhole and moved 200 yards in the face of intense small-arms fire to a position on an exposed dike roadbed. From this precarious position, Tully fired his rocket launcher at and hit both tanks to his immediate front. Armored skirting on both tanks prevented penetration by the projectiles, but both vehicles withdrew slightly damaged. Still under intense fire and fully exposed to the enemy, Tully then engaged a nearby house which nine Germans had entered and were using as a strong point, and with one round, killed all nine. Hurriedly replenishing his supply of ammunition, Tully, motivated only by his high conception of duty that called for the destruction of the enemy at any cost, then rushed approximately 125 yards through grazing enemy fire to an exposed position from which he could engage the enemy half-track with his rocket launcher. While in a kneeling position preparatory to firing on the enemy vehicle, Tully was mortally wounded by a mortar shell.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
And we're back in the second half of Veterans Radio for today. My name is Dale Thronberry, and I get to be the host. Joining me in the studio are Brian Hayes. Where did he go? He's Public Affairs Officer with the Ann Arbor VA. We've got Michael Smith, who is the local Washtenaw County Veterans Service Executive Officer. And on the line from Legal Help for Veteran is retired General Carol Ann Faussone. I won't go into that question right now. I've got another. We have another call on the line. I want to get to Curtis from California. So, Curtis, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for your patience. What can we do to help, maybe?
I'm on getting help at the VA. I find that with my condition, I wouldn't want to go to an outside source. You know, mm-hmm. It's just, and they always ask me, "Would you like to have this done outside?" I just feel the camaraderie and everything at the VA is very special. I've been with Legal Help for Veterans for a while, and I was just curious if the political situation is stopping my benefits from going through, or I'm really,
Okay, all right. Well, I think I kind of understand where you're going. Carol Ann, do you think you can answer that question? You think that things are being held up? Well, I guess we should ask you, Curtis, real quickly, if you don't mind sharing, what is the main condition that you're concerned about?
It's PTSD.
Okay. So, Carol Ann, have you heard anything about the government holding things back a little bit?
No, and Curtis, I'd be very happy to talk to you offline with the specifics, but I want to say no. I think day by day, you know, when we're calling in or working to help our veterans get their claims reviewed, and I do know, and Michael knows this too, that the VA is, I don't want to say targeting, that I'm using that word, but every so often the VA, the secretary, will decide that, oh, the claims, maybe the NODs are higher, so we need to focus on those, and or coming up with the rating decisions or working with the pension claims. So there's always an area that they're looking to keep their numbers within a quota, and they're trying to address all these issues. But, you know, I wouldn't lie with anybody. I don't think the political climate has anything to do with it. I just think there are a lot of claims out there, and the VA is trying to process them as quickly as possible and to give the best results the first time. That's my true belief. And I would hope that the government is not trying to slow down any of our claims to the veterans. But I would say that if something does happen and the veteran should pass, I am just hoping that people have the knowledge to do substitution, get out there and contact your POA to help you carry on these veteran benefits for your family. I can't stress that enough.
I don't know if that answered your question or not, Curtis, but thank you very much for giving us a call.
I'd love to talk to her off the air. Yeah.
Okay. Carolyn, can you give them Legal Help's number?
It's 1-800-693-4800. And Curtis, call me tomorrow and specifically ask for me. And thank you for calling in.
Curtis, don't go away. I'm going to ask our screener to write down your phone number as well. All right? He's still there.
Yes.
So, Derek, could you talk to Curtis and get his number? Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
We hear stories like Curtis's sometimes, and you know, oftentimes we offer folks to go outside of the VA system to get their health care needs, whether we're, you know, for whatever reason, they might live outside of a certain boundary and might have to drive too far, or we may not have the access in certain clinics. Most of our vets don't want to go outside. They understand that the VA has certain expertise in you know, in a lot of medical cares, particularly veterans. And oftentimes folks in the private sector healthcare just aren't prepared to – we were talking about this right before we went on the air today. It's just coincidental we got this call. But, you know, with the comorbidities, you know, so you've got folks with PTSD and you've got folks with amputations. Oh, and by the way, I've got type 2 diabetes. Oh, and by the way, I've got this and I've got this. And these are not uncommon for our veterans. Mm-hmm. And so the VA is – that's the expertise of VA is handling that kind of stuff and being able to deal with that barrage of illness that folks are walking around with, right?
So, Brian, I'm so glad you brought that up. I just want to piggyback on a situation that happened recently to me. A veteran called directly and said, hey, I'm traveling. I'm having some problems. They identified the area. They were service-connected. They explained the facility they were at, phenomenal care, and they were in an area where they needed to receive some care. And I went in and said, Michigan, I have Michigan on my brain. You could tell I attended the game last night. The Mission Act. And they said to me, what the heck are you talking about? And so I started to explain the Mission Act to them and that to call their local place to get authority or approval to go in and see a specialist for their care because it was not provided at their CVOC. And they were so amazed. They did that. They got care. And I did get a response back how excited they were for the opportunity to get care for their service-connected disability. So, Brian, hats off, you know, to what you're trying to do as a public affairs, but I do think we need to continue, and today's benefits is a great one about how we're educating on urgent care, and I think, Michael, you brought it up, is all of this opportunities is coming through and because of the Mission Act.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I think it's great. We're listening here to Veterans Radio, and we're talking about benefits not only through the VA system but also through the benefits side of the equation. And, Brian, I asked you to – we were talking about some of the treatments that are going on at the VA lately, and we just, through my ignorance, I typed in the wrong website for the VA. I did, and the correct website is va.gov. VA.gov, because if you go to another one that maybe starts with .org, they're trying to sell you medical marijuana on that particular site, and that's not right. But we were talking about some of the more, I guess, not I wouldn't say abnormal, but more esoteric, exotic type of treatments that mm-hmm. they're offering through the VA now.
So, oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, and we've been offering this. A lot of people think this is new stuff, right? And it's not. VA's been doing this for years. Talking about acupuncture, battlefield acupuncture, chiropractic, and aside from all that, I'll break some news here. We're actually building an entire chiropractic service in the medical center.
Really?
We're hiring chiropractors that will work in the building, have their own clinic. We won't have to send everybody out. Because what we found is sending everybody out for chiropractic is really expensive.
Yes.
And it's a lot less expensive to the taxpayer if we just hire some chiropractors and do it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have those services right in our clinic. And I understand I've heard that they're actually talking about acupuncturists too and hiring them in. So a lot of these services that we've been sending folks out for pain and, you know, different mm-hmm. kind of management, we're going to be able to do right in the hospital, which is really exciting, actually.
Now,
it's a whole new service, right?
It does sound exciting. I have a good friend who has a lot of issues with neuropathy and so forth, and he said that he has done the acupuncture, which he said was magic. And
it's not just that. It's also the whole health initiative, right? So we're talking mm-hmm. about mind, body, and spirit, the whole person. And how are we treating that? Are we treating, is the future of healthcare treating illness or is it improving wellness?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's really where we're going if you get down to the bottom. And the VA is really working toward how can we make you a more whole, well person as opposed to just treating your symptoms all the time, right? And it's working well and our veterans just love it.
Well, I understand that. You have exercise programs available.
Oh, my God. We have dance programs. Yeah. We have just
yoga.
Yoga. We do yoga. We do just all kinds of stuff. Yeah. It's all at the VA, and people just don't get it, right? And we've been doing this stuff for years.
What do I know, right? I just think it sounds kind of interesting that everything's all in one
Yeah,
all
I'm passionate about it because it's a real thing.
You could have fooled me.
Yeah.
Well, and then with the backdrop of the opioid epidemic going around, you know, the VA's alternative methods of treating pain now came to the forefront. I think that's why people think they're new, because the VA is making more emphasis or placing more emphasis on those alternative forms of pain management as opposed to the use of opioids.
Mm-hmm.
But as Brian said, they've been there for some time.
Oh, yeah, and these services actually will treat your pain. They actually, chiropractic and acupuncture actually help you with your pain as opposed to opioids, which have been shown time and time again through multiple blind studies, do not treat your pain. You know? And
right,
so we,
no, and everybody becomes dependent on them.
That's exactly right. And it's not just a VA issue, the opioid issue. It's a national, it's a worldwide healthcare issue.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter where you go, whether you're going to an outside, a private sector healthcare facility, or you come to a VA, there'll be a conversation about opioids before you get them, if you get them. Mm-hmm. I had surgery on my back last year, and I got Motrin, right? There was no Vicodin. There was no Tylenol 3. There was none of that stuff. It was like, take some ibuprofen and, you know, call me if you have any problems, right? So that's just the way. And you know what? The ibuprofen worked. I didn't need opioids for this little back surgery that I had. It worked just fine. Mm-hmm. That's just my own personal story. But the fact is, the whole health initiatives and all of the things that we're bringing into it, those actually do help. And I would urge all of our veterans who are listening, if you haven't given it a shot, and if you've got pain, give it a shot.
Mm-hmm. Well, the one thing I found is that the VA is becoming much more communicating much better than they have in the past. I know I get – and I encourage people, again, go to that – va.gov website and sign up for their newsletters, because you find out all these things that are going on out there that you didn't know about.
Sign up for the newsletters. We have a newsletter at VA Ann Arbor Healthcare System. I publish it myself. And if you really want to know what's going on, if you're local, and if you happen to be listening and we're your healthcare system, like us on Facebook. We put stuff on there immediately. That's the best way to find information quickly. Because it's actually, you know, coming from the media side of it, it's actually kind of difficult to get a press release published, because they tend to want to – everybody wants to read the bad news. They don't really want to read the good news. And, of course, my job is to publish the good news, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we tend to leverage our social media a lot more strongly than we do our press releases.
Okay.
That's where you go.
Right there. Go to Facebook.
VA Ann Arbor Healthcare System. Just search it, and you'll be able to like us on Facebook.
Okay. I guess I could like you guys. You've been pretty good to me, so I have to be good back to you.
Well, you can follow us without liking us. That's millennial talk, I hear.
Follow without liking. Okay, gotcha. Got you covered on that one. All right. So, Michael and Carol Ann, is there anything that we need to be aware of that's going on with the disability side of the VA benefit program? I can announce this because I just got it myself. We got a raise. 1.2% or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That'd be a whole 23 cents for me.
Yeah, pretty good, right? I think that's
pretty
awesome.
Well, I think of most concern for me and service officers around the state of Michigan right now are the lags in the processing of the non-service connected disability pension for veterans, as well as the survivor's pension for the survivors. Yeah. There's several lags. We're using electronic submissions to get our claims into the VA, yet it's taking us in some cases up to 2 weeks before we even see them in the Veterans Benefits Management System. What the pension centers did back in February is they joined the compensation folks in the processing of their claims in what's called the National Work Queue.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Milwaukee VA Pension Center had sole responsibility of 16 states, and they had met their efficiencies. Their average days pending was maybe 80 to 94 days.
Whoa.
Where they could get these pensions out and get them out to the claimants very, very quickly. I believe St. Paul, Minnesota, was the other pension center who had really met some economies of scale. I believe it was Philadelphia, whose section of the United States where they took care of folks just had an enormous amount of these types of pensions because of the states that were within their catchment area. So what they decided to do in February was to put all the claims for pension and death benefits that are processed at a pension center into the national work queue. Instead of them being worked at one station, they would get moved around to whichever one of those three stations, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, or St. Paul, Minnesota. But what happened is that it then inundated them with the claims that were lagging at one station, and it took them some time to catch up, and they're actually still behind. The processing of pension claims just literally almost came to a screeching halt, and we're just now seeing claims getting processed again, but they're well over 100 days, or if not longer. Mm-hmm. We're even just seeing the delays in getting them uploaded into the system so that they can begin to get worked. They get established, and we see them getting transferred into what's called the National Work Queue, and then they just sit there. And we go in. I go in every 2 to 3 weeks to check on the status of my claims. Mm-hmm. And the claim went in March, got established in the middle of April, got transferred to the National Work Queue, and has been in the National Work Queue since April, which means it has not been assigned to one of those stations to be worked. And it's just not me. I just recently had a conversation on our Michigan Association of County Veteran Counselors Google group, where people all over the state were asking the very same question. Mm-hmm. Is everyone experiencing these delays, number one, in the processing of your claims, and are you all having these delays with uploading your claims once we submit them? And there was about 15 people responding from all over the state, mm-hmm. Oakland County, Kent County, up north in Dickinson County, Luce County. We're seeing it statewide. So we know that if it's affecting us here in Michigan, it's affecting claims nationwide.
Okay. You're listening to Veterans Radio, and we would really like to answer your question. So give us a call at 734-822-1600. I have a question. What is the difference between the pension and compensation?
So compensation is for any sickness or illness that was incurred in service, caused by service, presumed to be related to service, or aggravated by service, meaning it's a disability right. that was developed as the result of military service. Pension is an income and asset-based program, and it deals with disabilities that are not related to military service. That's the reason the title of it is the Non-Service-Connected Disability Pension. So if a veteran has a disability that causes him or her not to be able to work, and no matter what their age is, or they're housebound over the age of 65, or they're a veteran or a survivor in need of aid and attendance, meaning they need a nursing home facility, an in-home care provider, or they need to be in an assisted living facility or a protected environment to receive assistance with at least two of the activities of daily living, then they can qualify for the VA pension. But the VA takes into consideration their income because they Congress establishes what's called the maximum annual pension rate for all three of those different categories, just a veteran that needs a pension, a veteran who's housebound, or a veteran in need of aid and attendance, or a survivor who just needs the pension because of a lack of income, or a survivor who's housebound, or a survivor who's in need of aid and attendance. And if their income is above that maximum annual pension rate, then they're not going to be eligible for the pension unless they're in that category of in being in need of aid and attendance. Then their out-of-pocket costs that they're paying in the marketplace for their need for aid and attendance can be used by the VA to reduce their countable income either all the way to zero, where they'll get the full maximum mm-hmm. pension rate, or some portion of that pension. And they also take into consideration their assets. The asset limitation used to be $80,000. Then they increased it last year, October 18th, 2018. And when they implemented new rules, including a 3-year look back to see if you've divested
money away.
That's right. Okay. If you gave your money away or divested yourself, it increased this year to $132,600. And it's now going to incrementally increase each year.
So that means that if you have $132,600 in assets, bank accounts, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, all that other
correct.
Stuff. Does it include your house or?
No, it does not include your primary place of residence, but it does include other properties. So, like if you have a cottage up north that's worth $40,000, then yes, it would count.
And then sounds like I'm asking for myself. I'm not really. I have a friend who I'm asking this for. What about income limitations? Do you know that off?
So I don't know all the income limitations off the top of my head, but I believe the income limit this year for a single veteran in need of aid and attendance is to about $24,000. So if their income is above that, then they would not be qualified unless, again, they're paying out of pocket for an in-home care provider, an assisted living facility, or a nursing home facility. Then that out-of-pocket cost can be used to reduce their countable income. So let's I'll give you an example. Let's say this veteran's income is $30,000. The maximum annual pension rate is $24,000. Obviously disqualified based on income. But now he's taking his $30,000 and he's spending $30,000 in the market for an assisted living facility. Then the VA would consider his income zero and pay him the full $24,000 pension. But let's
are
say,
you listening out there, folks?
But let's just say in that same example, he has he is out there in the market and he's buying his need for aid and attendance and yet has $10,000 of residual income, meaning they couldn't reduce his income to zero. Then the VA would minus that $10,000 from the $24,000, leaving a pension of $14,000, and he would get that as an annual pension.
I wasn't even aware of that one.
Yeah.
This is why you guys have to listen
to
Veteran Radio.
That's some complicated stuff, man.
It is. It is complicated.
But, you wait till they start talking about farm properties.
I was going to buy a farm.
How much of it can be, how much of it is your house on and how much of it can is.
Sure. I mean, but these are all benefits that are potentially available to all veterans from all conflicts.
Well, that's true. But now, when you think about compensation and pension, the VA always pays the highest of the two benefits. And in most cases, compensation is always going to be higher than pension. Unless you're a veteran like me who's service connected at 20% and I'm getting $279 a month, there's the possibility I could get a, you know, $1,200 a month pension, which is of the higher benefit. They would switch you to the higher benefit after processing an application.
Okay, but the key word I thought about the difference between the pension and compensation was service connected disability versus a.
That is correct.
That's your everyday disability.
That is correct.
Sounds wrong, but that's the only thing I was thinking about. Oh, you know. But
you know, this is Carolyn. I just want to say that right on, Michael, but there's another element to this, whether it's a rating decision that you're waiting for. We're seeing that across the country. When I'm thinking back to Curtis's question about the lag and the politics involved. We've got some claims right now that rating decisions, we're waiting for the veteran to get paid out there and then to promulgate the rating decision. And we've got a couple that are 2-3 years old. So not along with this, the non-compensated pension, but we're just seeing this lag in a lot of different areas. But please remember, if you're a hardship case, if, you know, you've got some type of cancer, you've got a terminal illness that pops up and you've got the diagnosis, if you're in financial trouble, please communicate those issues. Or age now becomes a factor. Some of those critical factors, please communicate it with your POA, the VSO, the county counselors. And let's get that information into the VA because that's really prominent information. You will rise to the top. They will take you out and they will take a look at you with evidence that is provided. So I think that's really critical to not be doing this by yourself.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think we all are shaking our heads yes and agreeing with that. We're coming up to the end of the program here, so I'm going to ask each of you, if you have a comment that you would like to make. We will be on again next month at the end of November. Don't forget that is when we're going to be giving away that U.S. Wings Top Gun flight jacket, approximately $800 in value. So make sure you go to our website, veteransradio.net, and enter in. We're taking a whole new list of people to enter into that raffle. Yes.
First thing I want to mention is our Fisher House is doing fabulous. It's almost built. We expect the contractor to turn it over to us probably around December, about 4 months early, which means maybe by February, March, we might actually start booking families into the Fisher House, and we'll probably have a really big groundbreaking grand opening ceremony around April, May. Mm-hmm. So look forward to that.
Quick reminder of that. Stories of Service is coming up November 6th at 7 o'clock at the Michigan Theater.
Well, I'd like to ask Brian real quick, when is your Veterans Day program this year?
It's on the 11th. It's on Veterans Day this time, and it's going to be at 10 o'clock in the auditorium.
10 o'clock in the auditorium.
Yeah. 10 o'clock in the auditorium.
I needed that information to put in my own newsletter.
This is why you listen to Veterans Radio.
That's right. Just
Carol Ann?
I just want to say thank you to all our listeners. Please send in your questions, email them, call in, because we are here to help you. And your story is very important to us. And thank you to my colleagues in the studio.
Thank you.
Thanks, Carol Ann.
We'll be back.
Okay, we're at the end of the program hour, but I want to remind our listeners to leave your comments about today's program on our website. If you like the idea of what we're doing, let us know. If you don't like it, let us know so that we can improve the program. Let's see. Also, we're looking for support from our patriots who are listening to us. Help us out. Keep the website, social media up, as well as the costs associated with radio broadcast. You'll find a PayPal button on our homepage. Thank you very much in advance for keeping us on the program. My name is Dale Thromer. You've been listening to Veterans Radio. You are dismissed.